Welcome to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. Whether you know the darkness of depression yourself or have supported someone in their pain, you've come to the right place. My mission is to empower you to take control of your mental health because nothing else in this entire world matters more. If you're listening in the midst of depression right now, I hope this show gives you assurance that you are not alone and that life doesn't have to be so hard. But you must first desire to feel better and get better. This podcast is a step in the right direction. If you're listening because you're walking alongside someone dealing with depression, thank you. You can always find me on Instagram at jana.cohn and be sure you're subscribed to my email list in the show notes so you never miss an episode. Together, we can flip the script on mental health. Enjoy. All right, Lexi, I have really been looking forward to recording this episode with you. We have been connected for quite some time, but I did not know that you in I guess years ago had also struggled with depression. And so I really want to get into that in this episode. But first, I know that people are going to be so intrigued by what it is that you actually do. And so tell us a little bit about that, because I know you have quite a toolbox of tools. So tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah. So my main thing, I guess, for the longest time, I've always used the term animal communicator. You may have heard of animal intuitive or animal medium. So I talk to living and passed on animals, animals in spirit. And then I also am like a medium for people as well. And spirit that's passed over. And then, you know, I'm a shamanic practitioner. And so I think all these labels are kind of just different ways to describe what I do. But like you said, it is a toolbox. All these things have been gathered over time to then morph into what I use now for my daily life and for my clients. But yes, I am very in tune to the spiritual world. I do a lot with energy and with nature and animals. And so that is kind of where that's just how I interact with the world, I guess, is in that form. So yeah, there's a lot of labels, but yes, very spiritually focused.
How did you get into that?
Well, I think it was so natural for me growing up with animals. Like, I was very, very, very in tune with them and very sensitive to the energies in the room. And I think if you are someone that learns you're an empath or that you're sensitive to energy or that your intuition just starts sparking and gets stronger, I think those things have always just been part of you. And that's what I came to learn with very much, I guess you could call them Dark Night of the Soul, if you've heard that term before, where you go through this period of just like intense transition and change. And it usually spurts you onto or turns you onto the path of more awareness, self-awareness, and growth, and spiritual evolution in all forms. And so when I was younger, I was, like I said, very sensitive to animals. And I guess I didn't realize that animal communication was a thing until about college. And I realized that it wasn't just my imagination. There was actually something that I could be doing in real life, not just in the books I've read or in my dreams or my imagination. And so I pursued that, and it's led me to a bunch of other things I didn't know that I could do. And now those things have turned into just my everyday normal, you know, toolbox, I guess you could say.
And when we talked a few weeks ago, I was in the midst of a depressive episode, I'll call it, even though I feel like I am still in it a little bit. But we connected particularly about depression and these symptoms of depression.
And you shared with me how depression is often a side effect of these root causes that we don't deal with, or, you know, those that we need to deal with. So can you tell us a little bit about that and maybe your personal journey with depression and how you came to this conclusion? And when we were messaging back and forth, I know I've told you this, but I was sitting outside Starbucks and I just had tears in my eyes thinking like, yes, yes, I relate to every piece of what you're saying. So I know that listeners are going to feel the same way.
Yeah, my personal experience with depression is something I feel I had to think for a second on if I've ever shared it in such a public type of way, but I think I've shared it to many people. However, I don't know if I have told the whole story in one place. And so I'm really excited to share that because I think it's a huge, huge part of the foundation of where I have gone from, right? So for me, I think I was very much depressed, or I felt it the most, or I was introduced to this idea that I could have depression when I was in high school, like very early high school. And it was numbing. Already that depression was numbing. It wasn't for me that I felt too many things and was overwhelmed and just did nothing and was stuck. I was very numb and very, very low. I never had any regrets about moving forward in life. Like, it wasn't like I didn't want to move forward. It was just I could not feel joy in the way that I knew others were experiencing it. I was very much distracted by the whole experience of depression, and I couldn't put a label on it until I went in and talked to a professional, like, what is going on? And of course, that was just, you know, my general doctor, which I think was just the starting point for me. But at that point, then they put me on like a generic form or whatever whatever renamed form of Prozac. I think that's a very common one that a lot of people mm-hmm. experience. And then the dosages kept starting to go up and up, up and up.
Yeah.
And they did that because I was still somewhat numb. However, I wasn't able to move through it. I was just consistently tired. And the way that I would experience depression was it would come out angry. Mm-hmm. And it would anger is a secondary emotion. It's something that is there to protect you, but also it's hiding a lot of pain. Anger is not generally the first thing I feel. It's the mask to what is really bothering me. And so when I was angry all the time, I didn't understand that I was actually really hurt by the things that were going on around me, and I could not process it. I was extremely empathic, very intuitive, and I was overwhelmed with these energies of other people, of my surroundings. I didn't know how to clear that. I didn't know energy management. I just was very much drowning in everyone else's stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was so heavy on me until I realized, okay, the way that I feel when I'm around animals, this peaceful or in nature where there's this freedom, I feel light, I feel more like myself than anything, that is something I should be able to feel all the time. I shouldn't have to just be with animals or just be in nature. That is something I think I believed I was capable of. So I kind of got real and was like, okay, what do I need to change? And over time, this, you know, I was on medication from high school all the way up until college, or through college, actually, because I think it was actually my third year in college where I had this little mini spiritual awakening, or it had started where I was very much aware that what I had learned was it was a choice for me to believe that I could or could not get better. And there's a lot of radical self, you know, responsibility that I had to face and be like, okay, well, I look around me, my life isn't awful. It's not. And I'm what's making me sad are things that have happened in the past that I've been carrying forward that I have not turned around and looked at fully to the extent that it's need to be looked at for me to then move forward. And, you know, when I was in meditation, this one time my guides were like, you know, your frustration with your depression is because you haven't looked at the past. And your anxiety with the future is because you're fearful of what has not happened yet. And when you're not kind of in the center neutral, you tend to lean, forward into the future where it shows up as anxiety, or backwards to the past, you're stuck, or you're bringing the past forward, that's depression. And I was like, that's an incredible way to look at it. And then I started applying these things of like, okay, how do I control my energy? How do I protect my energy, but also manage my energy, take responsibility for my energy and who I'm being to these other people? Like, they're not responsible for my emotions, for my depression. They're not responsible for me to be happy. Like, they aren't responsible for that. I'm the one that's been fucking up my life. And I wasn't doing anything purposely to fuck anything up. It was more like, I was not taking responsibility for the things that I could have changed, such as just forgive myself and not be angry at the things that have happened in the past, understand not none of the things that I experienced was my fault. A lot of people that I've had as clients have experienced bullying when they were younger, and they forget sometimes that when we don't look back at that bullying and deeply look into what could have happened and how to come to terms with what happened, or how to forgive ourselves for all the things, right? Anyone who's involved, just the whole thing, we kind of are still holding that. And that just holds us down. So I did this very much deep look into what I was experiencing. And I just kept working at it and working at it until one day I woke up, I reached over to take my medication, and I heard in my head, like, you're not taking that anymore. And I was like, what? And I was at this point so in tune to my guides and talking to them and in meditation and everything that it was very, very clear that they were like, this is not anything you need anymore. You have surpassed what medication can do for you. You have learned tools that have replaced this medication. So this is no longer needed. And I'm like, oh, okay. And at this point, I felt very comfortable going off of my medication cold turkey, because I was at a dosage that I had been weaned down from. It wasn't as if it would have been an issue. I could have always gone back on it if I had this horrible, you know, I had thought about that in advance. And just me thinking about it, they were like confirming, like, yeah, you can do that. Be done. And so that was the last time I had ever taken any medication for depression, and I have never turned back. However, I like to talk about this a lot because the concept that we were talking about through our Instagram chat was the idea of depression is that that's like the core issue. It's in people's brains, or it's like the way they're wired, or it's like that is the root cause. The shamanic perspective of this is that is depression and anxiety as well, but we're talking about depression is mainly just a symptom of this root cause that is different. Depression is not necessarily the one thing you are looking at to tackle. However, that's what we know is a lot of people go for, how do I heal depression? I do these things, da, 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 da. Those things, then, if you step back and look at them, those are bandage fixes. And although they can help immensely, and I'm not taking away from anyone's positive experience with those things, but you might notice that you're continuously like turning the wheel, and you're continuously repeating a cycle of, I'm trying this, or I'm trying this, I'm trying this. All right, I'm still on this. We're going to up my dose. Okay, now we're going to lower it. Now we're going to up it. Okay, now I'm going to try something else. I'm going to try this therapy. Like, there's constantly something going on. And I was not at the point where I was like believing I could continue that. I just didn't believe it anymore. I was kind of pissed. It's like, I'm done. I don't want this to be my reality. And so the concept of the depression being the symptom, not the root cause, I was like, well, what's the root cause? And that in itself of looking past depression, that simple mindset tweak was something that drastically altered how I looked at depression and how it didn't have a chokehold on me anymore. And so when I look at it in that form, I think of it as dis-ease, not disease as we know it, right? Disease is a form of unease in the body, but dis-ease. And dis-ease is when there's disharmony, and it could be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all the ways, but it manifests as a physical thing. So anything we experience emotionally manifests physically. When we hold grief, it's in our chest. We can feel it. When we hold fear, it's like our gut curdles and we can't move. Our physical body cannot function like it should. And so this dis-ease was very, very, a very big clue into why depression was a symptom, not a root cause. And so kind of going forward with that, it was just something I kept exploring and started to then look into, okay, where do I feel dis-ease? Let's look deeper into that and then start to crawl out of that hole or start to really heal and show love to that root cause. And then I started seeing the changes.
Okay, I have so many questions for you. But first, I want to back up to this concept of anger that you mentioned. So when you say anger, were you experiencing anger out of, okay, I'm angry that I feel this way? Or were you angry that you were on the medication and you felt dependent on it? But tell us where's this anger piece landing for you?
The feeling of anger came from, I think, many forms. The first being, why do I feel so weak in order to have medication? I felt very weak. Like I wasn't mentally capable or physically strong or spiritually had the, you know, confidence or the strength to fix the things on my own. Like that was a mental trap. The anger was a very big clue that I was mentally trapped in that belief. The anger was also my body kind of trying to show me that I've been taking on way too much of other people's energies. I had entities and beings that were trying to suck me dry because I was not managing my energy or protecting myself. And that pissed me off on a level I didn't understand until I looked deeper. I was very angry that the people around me didn't quite know how to help me. However, I wasn't blaming them. It was more like, I'm angry that this is almost as if it was a burden for them, but I could see how frustrated they were that they couldn't help. And that made me angry. There was anger that people couldn't understand what I was feeling, even when I tried to explain it. There was just whole regions of this type of anger, so many versions. But the anger was all a cover up for all this hurt. There was so much pain in it. It was not anger that they were misunderstanding me. It was pain that I was alone in my experience and they couldn't help me in the way that they wanted to. It was pain because it wasn't anger. It was pain because I was distancing from people that I really cared about. I was losing friendships. I was doing things that I just wasn't feeling joy out of. Like there was pain in that. It was like, I am supposed to live life in a way that brings joy. Like we as humans are constructed. We are hardwired to live life with joy and vivacity and vibrancy. And that is how we're supposed to be. That is, and I say supposed to be, but I'm saying like, there's no shoulds here. It's just, we're meant to operate in this lifetime with the most joy-filled experience possible. That's the goal. That is the reason for incarnation, is we're here, and that vibrancy balances with our experience of learning on this earth and our soul's learning. So when you have this soul learning, but it's not matched with the vibrancy of joy that you could experience in life, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
I'm pissed. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. I feel like I've been rejected. I feel like source is not understanding what's going on. I feel like I'm lost. I feel like I am not here like other people are here. There are so many. It's like your soul is crying out for like, help me. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge example of the disharmony and the separation from source that you experience from the root cause of what really it is, right? And, you know, there's many, many root causes. And I think I talked about a few of them with you.
Yeah. When you think about the day that you stopped taking your meds, and honestly, I'm in a similar place right now, not considering just getting off of the meds, but I'm in a place where I'm on a medication and I really don't think that it does anything for me. I don't sense any sort of relief from the depression, but quite honestly, I'm scared to not take it because I think, okay, what if it is working and I still feel this way? And I would feel even worse if I was not on this pill. So were you scared when you stopped your meds, or did you just have total trust that it was the right thing to do? What was going on in your mind at that moment?
I did. I had complete trust. I made that choice knowing that I had done a lot of things to support that choice that could easily replace that medication. It wasn't like they were telling me to do something that was out of this comfort zone. Like, they knew and I knew for a little while that I was like, I think I could go without. And I think that that decision I made was made in a very grounded place. It wasn't made out of desperation to be released from the medication. It was like I had a while previous to that moment been like, okay, the goal is to get my body clear of medication. My body wants to attune to the energies naturally. And I felt that so deeply of like, my body just all of a sudden one day woke up and was like, ick, I can't do this anymore. Stop putting this in my body. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I sat with that for a while until that morning where they said no more. And I was like, okay. The time between those two moments was me doing everything I could to support myself in ways that were not medication, if that makes sense. So, like I said, it was a mixture of these like modalities like acupuncture, massage, therapy. I mean, things as little as journaling, like they're not as little, but not as intensive. Sometimes journaling can be really easy. But that mixed with like deep, deep soul regression and soul retrieval, deep meditation with my guides, deep facing the shadow, like throwing up energies that had been stuck on my body, removing entities from my home. Like there was extreme with the support of physical and the mental and emotional. There was these modalities and these tools on every level of the human experience. And then it wasn't like I knew, okay, in 2 months, I think I'm going to be okay to not go off meds. It was like, I just knew I want to learn these things. It feels good to learn these things. It's helped me live life more vibrantly. Like I know I should be able to. And then it was, the timing just was like, they told me, you're done. I'm like, okay. And I remember I was at home for January break in college. And I was excited to finally rest and be home out of an environment that was demanding and stressful. And they were like, no, this is the perfect time. You have a whole month here. Like you have time to be in this safe space, to be comforted by family, to be supported. And so everything just aligned in that way.
When you went off of the medication, did you have some signs of confirmation that that was the right decision for you at the time?
Yeah. I went off of it and had zero side effects of removing myself from medication, which itself was its confirmation to me. There's no withdrawal things. There were no, like, emotional, like, roller coasters or anything. There was no more numbness. It was like I had actually stepped into a colorful painting out of a black and white. Like, it was, I had stepped into, like, oh shit, this is something I can maintain with the tools I've learned. It wasn't like everything was peachy and rosy and awesome, because, like I say, this dis-ease can be experienced at any point in life. I think when we were chatting about this, like, a little while ago, you had been in the middle of this depression episode, right? And I had just been through my own a week before you, and I was in it for like a week or two. And I was like, what the fuck, Lex? Like, we were done with this shit. Like, that's what I remember saying to myself, like, hold on. And it was so fucking weird to me that I was in it, because I hadn't had anything like that. I'm like going through the list. I'm like, is my moon cycle coming? Like, have I eaten foods that have not agreed with me? Like, I'm very self-aware to where I was like going through these things. Like, what caused this? Because I don't have depression. And it wasn't, not like a denial thing, but I was like, this is not my norm. My mindset went to, that is dis-ease. That is not my norm anymore. So the only thing that got me out of that hole was like radically looking at the bullshit I was avoiding. Really, I was avoiding shit.
Yeah.
I wasn't sitting down and letting myself feel things. I wasn't crying. I wasn't meeting with my guides like I had been. I was neglecting these things that hold me into harmony. And like when I go through these energies, like, you know, it's kind of funny, because like my sister, when she removes energy through her body, she burps. My friend farts. Like, it's just, you know, there's different ways that you can experience that. Some people sweat, some people yawn. I chose like to yawn. I was like, I was burping at one point, and I'm like, yo, yo, body, we're going to switch to yawning, because this is not okay. So then it's, you know, I yawn when I'm releasing energy of other people and my animals and me. But I was so neglecting moving through that dark space, the shadow, and giving love to it. And it's not fixing the shadow, it's loving it. And I hadn't done that. And so I often do like shower meditations where the water really helps the energy and the vibration of everything move forward. Anyway, I was moving through and I'm like, what the fuck do I need to look at? I'm like, what is it? Yeah. And they're like, it's right there. Like, you've been ignoring it. And I said, no, I thought I went through that. I thought I figured it out. And they're like, no, not to the extent that you need to look at it. And I looked at it and I was dry heaving and I was crying and I was sobbing and I was dry heaving and dry heaving and dry heaving. And that is something I will do when the energy just is like, we're done. We're out of this body. We're releasing this shit. It's out of the body. And that's when I know I've very much released those things. I got done with my shower and I was like, I feel good. And it was like night and day. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, okay, I actually have a zest for life now. It was so black and white compared to what I had experienced for a whole 2 weeks. And it's like, I let myself experience that for 2 weeks because I knew that it would be painful to look through that. Yeah. But that pain can be scary, and looking at those things can be scary, especially when you don't even know what you're looking at. You don't know what to search for. You don't want to go into your shadows and your dark forest and be like, okay, monsters, come out and look at me, because I'm going to do as much as I can to get out of this depression. Like, that is so not sustainable. That's not safe. That's not going to help you. That's going to throw you all out of alignment and regulation. And so going and starting this journey with people that can guide you there, that are professionals to help you in your healing, because it's like, you need to do the ultimate healing. It's all on you.
Yeah.
You can only heal yourself. However, I needed help in that week or two to be like my friend being like, you're avoiding shit. Like, what are you doing? I needed my guides to lead me through what it was. I needed to journal. I needed to do all these things, but I also needed to sit in the shit.
Yeah.
Like, I needed to sit there and feel the brunt of it, feel how heavy it could be in a very, very vivid way, so that I realized, oh shit, Okay. Gotta change this.
So that sounds to me like the total opposite of disassociating. And disassociating is absolutely what ketamine, for one, did for me. And that's why I do believe that it helped me for a short period of time, because I was able to disassociate and check out, and I didn't have to face issues, quite frankly, that I needed and, you know, now need to deal with still.
But that's only natural, because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I did the same thing too. I was in it and I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm just like, maybe I haven't eaten much, or maybe I'm bored, or like, maybe I have to do this or whatever. And I was watching TV and I wasn't focusing. And every time there'd be silence, I'd get uncomfortable. And I'm like, why am I uncomfortable in the silence? I'm never uncomfortable in the silence.
Yeah.
Because I was avoiding and disassociating from it, and it felt good.
Yeah.
Like, let's not be lying about that. It feels good to avoid.
Yeah.
It feels good to be safe, because your body's like, we don't have to worry about that. We're going to keep you safe. Yeah. It's like, no, you're trying to do something that is actually not helping me in any way, because my mind and body were not connected.
Right.
They couldn't communicate why I was disassociating.
Right.
So coming back to body, coming back to in connection was helpful.
So for someone that's listening, and even myself, like I am this person that is accustomed to traditional therapies and doctors, and the number one route go-to is medication, and finding out what medication is right for you. But for someone who just doesn't want to take that as their first path, doesn't want to get on medication, or someone that's done all of that still with no relief and feels like they're back at square one, is that something that, like, where do you start with your clients that come to you? Do you start just peeling back the layers? That's heavy work for sure, but I wholeheartedly see the value in that.
So the first thing is that in the shamanic perspective that I work with and that I live by, depression is a state of being. So it's not that you have depression, it's kind of switching your mindset from having this disease to being like, okay, I've been like stuck with these goggles on, and I have been stuck with these goggles on for a very long time, and I'm just going to shift my way of being, this state of being, and I'm going to take the goggles off, and that's my norm. Mm. It's not something that I think we're meant to use forever. Because to me, on an energetic level, if I'm saying, okay, if I'm going to have medication for the rest of my life, I'm admitting to myself on some energetic level that I cannot get rid of it, that I can't heal or move forward from depression, that I am always going to be a victim of it. And that is not an energy that I agreed with. And I was like, no, there's another way. My mind is so much fucking stronger to believe something that I could heal myself from. People heal themselves from their diseases all the time. But the problem is they don't give themselves credit. They give credit, which there is credit, to their medical doctors. And I'm not a medical professional. I'm not telling you not to do medication or not to, you know, whatever. But we see a lot of push for these Band-Aid things. Yeah. And they help. They do give relief. I did that. I was gaining that relief from there. However, it got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm fucking sick of this being the same thing over and over. Medication got me to a point where I was functional, but I was not living my life. I was not enjoying myself. I couldn't see what I was missing because I wasn't allowing myself mentally to understand, you have a choice in this, Lex. Mm-hmm. Like, Lex, you can choose to believe you'll have depression forever. And that made my body go on fire. I was so livid. I was like, absolutely fucking not. And my soul was like, no, I don't know. I have no clue how to fix that. I have no idea where I'm at. I feel lost. But I know I don't want that to be my reality. And I felt that. And I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to search for another way. And then led into the radical responsibility. Now, if you were looking for, like you said, if someone is just like over the medication or they've tried everything, it's not that I would recommend people to help you, like to heal you, because no one can heal you. It's more like it's an ever evolving and long process of getting to know yourself again. It's calling pieces of yourself back home. It's reducing fear of past and present and future things. It's embodying all of the gifts that you have forgotten over lifetimes, over this lifetime. It's retrieving and calling back and taking back power from the people and the events and the experiences that you've had that have taken that from you, or that you've lost it, or that you've fully just thrown it to get out of this that situation, and you've given it up. Maybe this whole coming back to self is a lengthy, lifelong process, which, by the way, I was very pissed to understand that. Like, I was like, healing's never gonna end. What the fuck is that about? Like, that's dumb. But and that was so frustrating to understand or to believe, but it's like, we're not just here to heal for whole fucking life. Like, there's no way you're going to heal every lifetime you've ever had in this one life. Like, that's not living. We're here to experience it, everything. But it's starting with where it feels the heaviest. So like in a session, when I go into, so in an Akashic record session is what I would do with someone. Like if I came to myself, I'd be like, what are we doing? And in that Akashic record session, I would look at, in that moment, what your guides, what your ancestors, what your angels, what the ascended masters, all of your team says would be the best for you in that moment. What is it you need right now? What is it that your body is ready for? What is it that your soul requires? What are those things that will start to bring you back to yourself, gain that power back to alignment? And then we do that. And no one session looks the same.
Yeah.
Never. And it could be something like we go and we actually do a soul retrieval, right? Or we remove an entity, or maybe it's just we walk you into the depths of the emotion that you haven't viewed yet. Maybe it's we're just doing simple like connecting little circuitries in your body so your energy can flow and you can see things with more color. I mean, there's innumerable ways to approach that. But I find that a lot of the times when we feel so disconnected and we have depression, there's the fear kind of destabilizing our body so that our body physically cannot heal, it cannot cope. And that fear can run so deeply from many sources, whether it be a past life, a current experience, or just from this when you were a child. So moving through the fear and healing the fear is a big one. Calling back your power from situations that have either taken it or stolen it from you, or where you've given it up because you haven't wanted to deal. Soul retrievals from moments in time where it was something was so jarring that it just shattered your heart and shattered you in a way that you've lost some of the light. And we just call those pieces back home. And it's beautiful and it's intense work. And I don't recommend to be doing so. Like, I think the most soul retrievals I've personally done in a day or in one session was like 3. And that was like, I was out of like productivity for 3 weeks. It was like, I was just fully resting. But I've seen them and I've done them to where people have received so many gifts. They've restored memories. They've reduced pain, like the pain where I had put back one of these pieces, or they've called it themselves back. The pain was gone. like people have changed their skeletal form at the chiropractor because they're bringing back these pieces where the chakras are aligning and their spine straightens. Like things happen so amazingly that I think it's putting power back in your hands. Like you are capable of healing yourself. You have people to guide you and lead you, but you can do it. You know,
the word that comes to me when you're talking about this and personally in my struggles with depression, knowing that you actually can identify these pieces where you're out of alignment, or recognizing where there is this loss of power or connection. It gives me this feeling, the word that came to me was this feeling of hopefulness and forward looking. Because the common denominator when it comes to depression is that nothing looks very hopeful. It's the opposite. So to have that avenue to look at these things and actually go there and talk about them, to bring it up, to digest it and get it up and out, that is helpful, but it's also very scary.
Right. It can be intimidating. It's not for the faint of heart, and I don't think that everyone in the world is ever ready for, like, there have been lifetimes where I wasn't ready. Like, when I do past life regressions on myself and I kind of look at back in my history, I was not ready to face some of the shit. And I was, like, almost in a way of, like, my soul was like, we'll deal with that next life, because it's just not, I'm not ready. And you're not going to be, it's not like we're looking at the shadow of ourselves, right, at these hurt places, and we're not like, okay, well, I'm gonna fix you, I'm gonna heal you so you can get out of here, because that's, again, that's just confirming we're rejecting those pieces. We don't look at the shadow to fix it so that it can go, or fill it so that it's removed. It's like, no, we're integrating that shadow. We are looking at it and being like, you are, have always been a part of me. You've just been lost and I've rejected you. I'm bringing you back into fullness. I'm bringing you back into love and I call you home. And that brightens everything. And it's so much more powerful than the people that are doing what they call self-awareness. And then they're like, oh, I'm toxic and I'm gonna, you know, heal my codependency and I'm not codependent anymore. It's like, no, you can accept that you were codependent and you can love the parts of you that were. However, now you know, and you can give love and you can forgive those parts. And you're not rejecting the parts of you that were codependent. You're just saying, hey, I see you. I love you. There's hope. We're okay. And you call it home. And that becomes a transmuted, you know, it's a spiritual alchemy is what you're doing. And it's beautiful. And it's a big process. And it can take a lot physically. And it can be scary. I totally get it. Because every time I remember every time that I would take one step further on my knowledge or on my journey of continuing this process. I'm still doing it, right? It was like, holy shit, what is this going to do now? Mm-hmm. And for me personally, like my intuitive gifts only grew. Right. It's like, they were like, okay, you love yourself. You trust yourself enough to go do the work for yourself that we are also going to help you learn more. It's almost like an initiation of some sorts. It's like, you get to know how to live life more beautifully because you're actually doing the work. And you're showing yourself that there is beauty coming out of this.
Yeah.
And it can be scary, yes. Yeah. But if I'm just saying anything at all, it's like, there's hope. And you're not meant to be in depression forever. It's just a single state of being, a blip on your radar. It is possible to move out of it. It is completely healable. There are complete amazing people out there. And amazing avenues that will help you get there. Everyone's journey is going to look different. Everyone's going to have their own timelines. But it is possible to get the help to bring ease to it all.
Yeah.
I imagine this process, if someone goes through this with you, because I would not recommend anyone do this type of work, this healing work alone. Is it an ongoing forever process, or do you try to dig through the bulk of an issue and then you kind of go from there? Or is every person's progression or timeline different?
Everyone's different. There's no one formula. I think the most basic formula I can give you is like, look at your stuff, love it, integrate it, move forward. That's the basic of it.
Yeah.
I don't do incredibly deep soul retrievals all the time for myself, because I've learned my rhythms of like when I don't have enough energy, when I need to, what is, and it's not always a soul retrieval. Let's get that clear first. Like, it can simply be acknowledgement of something that bothered you. Like the other day I was like, I was feeling something really heavy, like really heavy. And I'm like, what is this? And I was like, so trying to like not to cry about something. And I'm like, what is this? What's going on? And my guys were like, you don't know what it is. You don't need to know what it is all the time. You just feel it. So let us help you. And I was like, okay. And then it was something just, I don't know what it was actually, but they were like, let's just help you. And they moved through it. That itself is a huge, huge healing. I had a dream the other night, like a really disturbing dream. And it was very sad. And I woke up and I was like, well, that was weird. And normally, like, my dreams are very vivid and bring meaning. And that day I decided, like, I was so disturbed by that, I'm not going to think about it. And I pulled myself away from the awareness and looking at it. And I felt so off for like 2 days. And I was like, what is that? And I looked at it again. I'm like, maybe that thing's still bothering me. I looked at it and I had a huge, huge emotional release because of that really sad dream. It was so sad, but it was my dream kind of explaining to me, hey, you have some shit right here, like right here, some beautiful stuff right up here that wants to be looked at, that wants to be loved, that wants to be integrated. And we're showing you how uncomfortable it is, but it's only uncomfortable because that's how it is, like in your soul. That's how you're holding it right now. You're holding it with this discomfort. We're showing it to you so that you can fix it. And I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I moved through that. I was like, okay. And I went through that. So it's like, it's something, it's like you're in line for coffee and someone budges you and you're pissed. And then you're like upset the rest of the day and you're heartbroken. You're like, why am I heartbroken over someone budging me? And then that could unearth something like, oh, I'm not worthy to be holding a place in line. My presence isn't strong enough. Maybe they don't care. Everyone. And then you're like spiraling into like, well, when I was younger, someone budged me because they didn't like me. And then it like, it's just something that triggered this other moment that needs to be looked at for you. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like everything that we experience, every emotional thing is a clue to what is actually the issue. What is actually the challenge, right? So that's the root cause. If it's triggering moment, that's the depression. Mm-hmm. The root cause is that actual thing that we need to look at, if that makes sense. So it's a process. It's an ever-evolving thing. There's no wrong or right way, I don't think. It's going to be different for everyone, but it's possible. It's very possible to find some.
It really makes so much sense, but it is definitely a road that you have to agree to go down and deeply desire that full healing and release. And I think that is so counterintuitive to what our society does. We want to go through it. We want to move on. And we don't want to look back. But really, our greatest teachers come to us when we look back. So, Lexi, tell us, if anyone is listening and wants to talk with you further, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
So the best way would be, I have my website, whiteflamecommunication.com. I have an Instagram as well. white.flame.communication. And then on both of those things are just links to how to reach me and a little bit more about me, what I do, how to work with me. And I love connecting with people through there. I love sending, I love when I get emails from people and we can just chat about something, or on my Instagram when we do little lives or these little mini readings I do sometimes. I really love that kind of interaction. So those would be the two places to best connect with me.
Thank you for listening to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. If you'd like to talk with me one-on-one, I have private sessions available now to book in the show notes. And please, if this episode spoke to you in any way and you want to join me in flipping the script on mental health issues, the best thing you can do is leave a review on whatever platform you're listening from, or take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and share to your social media. I'd also love to connect with you in the DMs on Instagram at jana.cohn. In the show notes, you can subscribe to my email list and never miss an episode. I'll see you here next time on Flip the Script.